The Lord be with you. Jesus tells a parable in which there is a chasm. A chasm that divides a man who was poor in life, who had nothing but a name, Lazarus, and a man who was rich in life, who had everything, but is not given a name in this parable. Jesus describes that there is a chasm between the poor man Lazarus, who in death is comforted, and the rich man who in death is tormented. A chasm between Lazarus in heaven and the rich man in Hades. And we might ask ourselves, who put that chasm there? Did God put that chasm there? Did Jesus, simply because Lazarus was poor and the rich man was rich? No, church. The rich man put that chasm there. He carved it every single day of his life. He carved that chasm when he would see Lazarus hungry, and he went in to feast, and yet he refused to share his bread with Lazarus. The rich man carved that chasm when he went into his home and closed the gate and left Lazarus outside on the step. The rich man carved that chasm when he was dressed in fine linen and purple clothing and saw Lazarus naked but refused to help him cover up. The rich man carved that chasm between himself and Lazarus every day of his life. But the rich man has kept that chasm open even in death. Because when that rich man dies and he realizes he is in Hades and he looks up to see Lazarus in heaven, his first thought is not, oh, I have done wrong. Oh, I should repent. Oh, I should apologize. No, his first thought is, oh, garçon, it's rather hot in here. Will you bring me some water? Can you imagine realizing that you were in Hades and this poor man Lazarus is in heaven, and yet the only thing the rich man can think of Lazarus is, he should be my servant. That is the chasm that he has carved between them. Not only does he command Lazarus to act as his servant, even though the rich man is in Hades and Lazarus is in heaven, the rich man never even addresses Lazarus directly. Instead, he speaks to Abraham. Abraham, send Lazarus to do this. Abraham, send Lazarus to do that. As if Abraham is the manager in an establishment that's not providing satisfactory service. There is a chasm there between the rich man and Lazarus that rich man has carved in life and even in death continues to dig. A chasm that exists between him and even Abraham. For he calls out to Abraham and says, if you send Lazarus to my brothers, they will repent. And Abraham says, what? They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. And the rich man says, no, Abraham. Tell God he's doing his job wrong. What he needs to do is send someone back from the dead, and that'll solve it. This rich man has created a chasm between himself and everything else in existence. We have for the past few weeks been reading through the book of 1 Timothy, and 1 Timothy concludes with chapter 6, in which it's an explanation of how those who are wealthy in this age should behave. And 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, concerning those, and we'll have it here up on the screen, concerning those who are rich in the present age, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. You see, the danger of wealth is we think it provides us everything that we need. And so we say, we can set our hope on this wealth. And if I have everything I need, well then, I don't need anything else, and I don't need anyone else. And from that shaky foundation, we begin to cut everything out of our lives that might bring us discomfort. We cut out the needs of others. We cut out recognizing when we are wrong. We cut out our interdependency on people who are different from us. But here's the thing. It's not just wealth which gives us this shaky foundation with which we set our hopes. There are all sorts of idols which let us do this. the idol of age. Oh yes, the young who are energetic and say, I know everything. Or the old who are experienced and say, I know everything. The idol of geography, to say, well, I live in a rural setting, or I live in an urban setting, or I live in California, or I live in Iowa, or I live in the United States, or I live in India, and I have no connection with anyone who lives just on the other side of this line that we have drawn on a map. The idol of ideology, which says, I have all the right answers, and anyone who disagrees with me is not only wrong, but dangerous. These are all idols on which we place false hopes on a shaky foundation, and from them we begin to carve around ourselves chasms. Chasms that cut us off not only from those who are different, but eventually from everyone at all, until we find ourselves isolated, stewing in our solitude. We cut ourselves even off from life itself. There are so many people in our society today who feel alone and afraid and are unable to understand why everything around them seems to be crumbling even as they keep carving their chasms. But 1 Timothy 6:17 goes on to say that not only should we not set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. The greatest gift with which God has provided us is Jesus Christ, who crosses every chasm. Though Jesus only has 5 loaves and 3 fishes, he crosses the chasm from those who are hungry to those who have by feeding the 5,000. Though Jesus has only a manger for his home, he crosses the chasm of those who are housed and those who are unhoused by inviting shepherds to share his stable. Though Jesus doesn't carry a second shirt, he crosses the chasms from those who are clothed to those who are naked by clothing us all in his righteousness. Because Jesus crosses not only the physical divides of this world, but the spiritual divides that enter into eternity. Though Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, he calls us not servants, but friends. Though to Jesus every tongue on this earth cries out, Jesus calls each and every one of us by name. Though Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, Jesus teaches each and every one of us to call out to God as our Father, and Jesus goes to prepare a house for us in his Father's mansion. Oh yes, the chasms of status and popularity and position, Jesus crosses all of them in a heartbeat for our sake. When we crucify Jesus, he forgives us before we even realize that we are wrong. When we choose death over life, Jesus, who is the author of life, crosses into death to bring us back. When we choose Hades over heaven, Jesus descends from the heights of heaven down into the depths of hell so that there may be nothing, not our sin, not our stupidity, not our self-sabotage, that can separate us from the love of Christ in Jesus. The cross crosses every divide. And 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us that God gives us this gift in Jesus, not just so that we have life, not just so that we have love, but for our enjoyment. For God knows that grief shared is half, but joy shared is double. And so Jesus crosses every divide, every chasm to connect us and to show us the joy of a life shared with millions of our neighbors in God. Jesus has done all this for us, but as Abraham tells the rich man in the parable, Moses and the prophets have been telling us to do this for centuries. And perhaps no place is it more clear than Isaiah 58, verse 7. In which God says that God's desire is not that we abstain from food, but that we share it, saying, is not this the fast that I choose? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Isaiah goes on to say that if we do these things in verse 12, that your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of streets to live in. Church, this is why, unlike the rich man, Faith Lutheran shares our bread with the hungry through our parking lot ministry, so that we may raise up the legacy passed on from our ancestors, and we might share with them the joy with all the saints of ages past. Friends, this is why, unlike the rich man, we welcome the homeless poor into our fellowship hall for safe space emergency shelter, so that we may establish the foundation for future generations and share our joy with the saints in ages yet to come. This is why, unlike the rich man, we have clothing drives which we bring and lay at the manger at the foot of our altar, so that we might be restorers of the streets to live in and share our joy with the saints of this present age. And this is why, unlike the rich man, we do not hide ourselves from our kin, but in small groups and service teams and in this sanctuary, we look into the faces of people who seem so very different from us, so that we might recognize in each and every one of them our brother Jesus. And in so doing, we might become the repairers of the breach that exists in so many this day, the breach that exists between our souls and the life that God so desperately wants to give us freedom. 1 Timothy 6 goes on to say in verses 18 and 19, of those who are rich in this present age, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Church, this world wants us so focused on protecting our false idols, standing on them as a shaky foundation, protecting them by carving chasms around ourselves to separate us from our neighbors, from God, and even from life itself. But for the past 75 years, the good foundation of Faith Lutheran Church has been Jesus Christ, who crosses every chasm and calls us to be repairers of the breach. Today, the good foundation of Faith Lutheran Church is Christ Jesus, who crosses every chasm and calls us to be repairers of the breach. Forever, may the good foundation of Faith Lutheran be Christ Jesus, who crosses every chasm, and may we answer his call to be repairers of the breach. Amen. Friends, having honored our past, I want to look forward to our future. So many members in that video said what they love about Faith Lutheran is our intentional welcome and love for all people. And perhaps that's true now, especially as it feels like the chasms in our society are so vast. For the last 75 years, whether or not it's been officially our mission statement, truly Faith Lutheran has been a community reflecting God's love with a place at the table for everyone. But the past few months, our council has been pondering what would it mean for us as a church to find ways to bring that culture beyond Faith Lutheran out into the world. What would it mean to turn Faith Lutheran into a training center to send people forth to forge unity in Christ? Our goals for the next year are all geared with this purpose in mind. So, on October 19th, we will be starting a second service Sundays at 5 p.m. We are doing this because our congregation needs to cross the chasm between those who love our heritage of Lutheran music and those who yearn to dance to something more modern. We need to cross the chasm between those who want to worship God when they wake up in the morning and those who want to worship God as they prepare to rest at night. We need to cross the chasm between those who find solace in the ancient structure of our liturgy and those who yearn for spontaneity to respond as the Spirit moves them. We need to live out that we are one in Christ. Next Sunday, we will once again have our children lead worship. And we've resumed our confirmation classes because we need to cross the chasm that exists between generations. We need to cross the chasms between the young with energy and the old with experience. We need to cross the chasm between the roots of our past and the possibility of our future. We'll also be re-intentionally rebuilding our small group ministry because we need to cross the chasms that exist between those who worship in the mornings and those who will worship in the evening. We need to cross the chasm between what happens on Sunday morning and what happens in your lives each and every other day of the week. But most importantly, we need to cross the chasms between those people whose voter registration has an R next to it and those people whose voter registration has a D next to it. And the best way to do that is to sit down together across a table like you are doing right now, to read scripture together, to share what's happening in your lives and to pray for one another's problems, to live out that we are truly one in Christ Jesus. But a second service, children leading worship and small groups, those are just the beginning. I want you to imagine what we could be doing 5 years from now. So this past year, we had an incredible Easter festival put on by Josh, our director of children and youth ministry. It was a festival in which hundreds of families who had no connection to Faith Lutheran came and celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Imagine if we had events like that for the community 4 times a year. Events where we could cross the chasms of Chico because people would know that no matter their age, no matter their affiliation, they could come and find connection and meaning for their whole family. Imagine if we crossed the chasm between generations by having the many talented musicians in this congregation lead a summer music camp in which we encourage the children in the community to come and take music back from the machines. Imagine if, as Pastor Carl reminded us in years past, 5 years from now, parents once again knew that once a week they could come and drop their babies off with grandparents who would love to play with them and give those parents a break. What if we crossed the chasm between cultures and members of our church taught English language and citizenship classes? What if we crossed the chasm of perception and we had in those small groups a rhythm where throughout the year different members of the small groups would say to the others, come with me and do a service project about something I am passionate about so that the members of that small group could experience with their hands what matters to their neighbors' hearts. If we all did that, my guess is in 5 years, we need to start a third worship service. And with it, we probably need to bring aboard some staff. Most importantly, a director of small groups and adult education who could help us have classes where we don't just learn information, but we learn skills and context to equip our members to have difficult conversations with friends, neighbors, and coworkers. To have those difficult conversations, not to convince, but to create connection and common understanding. If we did all that in 5 years, imagine where we could be in 10 years. Those kids who come to our music classes, who are dropped off to play with grandparents, well, they could be part of an after-school music program in which high schoolers and college students mentored younger children, and all of them played at our worship services. Different generations, but one in Christ. Those immigrants who we helped earn their citizenship, they could be the foundation of an additional service, one that is Spanish-speaking, and we need to bring on an additional bilingual pastor to help shepherd. But most of all, those members who'd spent years being shaped by sitting across from people who are different from them, praying with folks who have a different perception of the world, being formed by service projects where they discover parts of our society that they knew nothing about but now have a passion for. Those people could go forth confidently into schools and workplaces and community events and meetings, able to cross chasms, knowing that Jesus Christ has gone before them and they can follow, knowing that whatever breach they encounter in our society by the power of God, they can be a part of repairing it. Capable by the power of the Holy Spirit of encountering the strangeness of difference and transforming it into the strength of different gifts. Friends, the chasms in our society are growing, but so is Faith Lutheran Church. Jesus has put us here for a purpose, and that purpose is not simply to safeguard this treasure that we have been given for the past 75 years. It is to transform Faith Lutheran into a training center from which we can send forth people to follow Jesus in crossing every chasm. It is to transform Faith Lutheran into a launching pad from which we send forth 1,000 members, each one shining with the light of God's kingdom, which is capable of repairing every breach in our society. This is what Jesus has put us here to do. And to do that work, friends, we will need a campus capable of sustaining this ministry. And so I want to talk to you about our capital campaign. And I'll show you a video first, and then I'll reveal the current level of the pledge.
In 1950, there was only one Lutheran church in Chico, and it excluded members who were also part of fraternal organizations, like the Shriners, the Masons, or the Elks. Those faithful Lutherans who had been excluded from their church gathered to form a new congregation, one that would welcome the excluded. They called this new congregation Faith. A call went out across the country to help Faith Lutheran build a church. This call was answered by children. Sunday schools across the nation took an offering for Faith. The people of Faith received the gifts of those children, rolled up their sleeves, and went to work, building themselves Faith's first sanctuary. Since then, Faith Lutheran has been a place where faithful people are willing to get their hands dirty to welcome the excluded, celebrate children, and bring Christ's love into the world. In 1990, Faith Lutheran finished our current campus. This campus was built with a flexible sanctuary, spacious fellowship hall, and multiple classrooms. The dream was that Faith Lutheran's facility would be able to live out its values by being a space where we could host the community, be a beacon of Christ's love, and children could grow in grace. 35 years later, our facilities are doing just that. In the past few years, our Sunday school has grown from 4 children to 20. On a monthly basis, Faith hosts 10 church ministries and 14 community organizations, from support groups to scouts, from philanthropic societies to musical ensembles. But more than anything, our campus is our launch pad from which we carry Christ's light into the world. Our parking lot is where we feed hundreds of families each month through our drive-up food bank. It's where we hosted our headline-making Easter festival. From our parking lot, for nearly 40 years, we have sent forth vanfuls of missionaries to do hard labor for orphans in Baja California. Our classrooms are where we teach children of God's love and where adults encourage one another to know the Holy Spirit in their lives through Scripture. Our fellowship hall offers shelter for those on the streets during the heat of summer and the cold of winter. Our kitchen creates meals for ecumenical fellowship, grieving families, and the hungry at the Torah shelter. Our sanctuary is where we proclaim the victory of God over sin and death. It is where we see the face of Christ in each other. In our sanctuary, we fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit so that we go forth into the world singing and shining with the light of Christ. And yet, every part of our campus needs repair. After 35 years of serving others, our facilities need servicing. The roofs of all the buildings need to be replaced. Multiple HVAC units, also 35 years old, are on their last legs. The pillars that hold up the breezeway in front of the office are crumbling. The fellowship carpet shows evidence of every event from the past 35 years, and the appliances in the kitchen are making death rattles. The Sunday school rooms would benefit from installing emergency exits in the windows in case there is a danger in our courtyard, and from having security cameras to monitor what's happening on campus at night. When we install a new roof, we also have the opportunity to add additional solar panels. The solar panels we currently have were a gift that do not meet our energy needs. By expanding our solar array, we free up money that we can invest in other parts of our ministry.
Based on the bids that we've received for the largest project, we expect the total cost to approach $600,000. We hope to raise that money over a three-year period, but some projects, like the roof and the HVAC system, likely can't wait that long. Fortunately, our congregation has just been approved for a $650,000 line of credit from the Mission Investment Fund, a ministry of our denomination that provides capital for exactly our situation. Just like with a credit card that has a high limit, we only pay interest on what we actually borrow. The council just approved a bid to replace all our roofs for just under $100,000. When we borrow $100,000 to pay the roofing contractor, we pay interest only on that $100,000. If the capital campaign raises the money quickly, we can pay back that amount to the Mission Investment Fund and no longer pay any interest. This would allow us, in the next couple of months, to replace the roof and repave the parking lot. In the next year, we would replace our HVAC system and expand our solar panels. And in year three, we would refurbish the fellowship hall, kitchen, address the pillars, and improve the safety of the Sunday school rooms.
The values of our past guide our future. Even as our average attendance has been consistently growing since the pandemic, we are looking for new ways to carry Christ's light into the world for those who can't see it yet. Through adding a worship time, expanding community service, and being ever more intentional in our welcome, we are a community reflecting God's love with a place at the table for everyone.
The generosity of children and the hard work and faithfulness of previous generations has given us the treasure that is Faith Lutheran Church. Now it's our turn. It's our turn to roll up our sleeves, get to work, and be generous to ensure that we can pass on the treasure that is Faith Lutheran to generations yet to come. Church, Faith Lutheran and its campus in particular are truly a treasure that has been passed on to us from some of the very people in this room and from generations that are celebrating with us in heaven in this moment. Based on the bids that we've received for these projects, we believe that to pass on the treasure of this campus to the next generation will cost about $600,000. And we know that's a big number, and so over the past few months, 32 families have pledged ahead of time to inspire and give you confidence. The number that we have received in pledges so far is $309,000. We're over halfway there, folks. These families have pledged to the capital campaign above and beyond their regular giving, because they know that our facilities allow us to welcome in the community, but they also know that it is our day in and day out ministry in our campus that truly transforms lives. And so they've also given in hopes of inspiring you to give above and beyond your regular giving to the Capital Campaign. Now, out in the after worship, we're almost done with our program today, guys. After worship, there won't be any classes, whether for new members or journaling. But instead, we invite you in the courtyard to get coffee. Dax and Karen Kimmelshue are providing coffee for us today. Thank you. And then Janine Rush will also have commemorative coasters that are available for purchase for $5. And on the table out there, those red binders are full of even more pictures from our past 75 years of ministry. But at that round table, Bill Kehoe, who's a member of our Capital Campaign team, will be out there because he's going to lead a tour of this campus to show folks exactly the different projects we want to work on and answer any questions you may have about those projects. But before you go out to the courtyard, at the doors, members of our Capital Campaign will be present, and they will have in their hand a brochure and a green envelope, and we're going to give those to each and every one of you, yeah? In the brochure is more information about our Capital Campaign and a form which you can use to make a pledge. Now, here's the thing. They don't know who's already made a pledge, yeah? So they're going to hand you a form. If you already made a pledge, just smile and say thank you and give it to a friend. Sound good? But here's the thing. My hope is that each and every family does fill out that form and make a pledge and turns it in by Reformation Sunday, the last Sunday in October. And I say it is my hope that each and every family does this, knowing that we all have different financial needs. Some folks have been able to pledge $10,000 a year for the next 3 years. Some people may be only able to pledge $1 a year for the next 3 years. But no matter how much you can pledge, I encourage you to do so for two reasons. First, Jesus sees a widow give 2 pennies to the treasury of the temple, and he praises her more than all the grand donations given by the wealthy. Because what she has given is not just her money, she has given her heart. Jesus teaches us that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. It is my hope that for each and every one of you, your heart will be in the future of Faith Lutheran Church. It is my hope that you fill out that pledge form so that each and every one of you may have your heart in the future of a community reflecting God's love with a place at the table for everyone. It is my hope that each of you fills out that pledge form so that each of you may have your heart in the future of a community that has for 75 years proclaimed that God's grace is enough. And so with that, I'll invite our Capital Campaign members to head to the doors, and I invite the rest of us to stand as you are able as we sing our sending hymn, God's Grace is Enough.